grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Good morning, Father. Lord, there is a mighty foe, a mighty spiritual foe out there who is real, and he does exist. Satan is real. He is a liar. He seeks to corrupt all things. He seeks to destroy all things. He seeks to devour all of us, Lord. And yet you've defeated him, and you've come to help us. But Lord, there's other issues that we have. We have our own sinful desires. And we have a broken world that is around us. Lord, help us to rely on your mighty strength. Because we cannot do it on our own. We need you. And we thank you that you are with us and you are mighty to save us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm taking a look again at Mark chapter 1. We've spent a lot of time in Mark chapter 1, but that's okay because it is a wonderful chapter. I know we looked at the Transfiguration last Sunday because, of course, it was Transfiguration Sunday. We're going to take a step back. And we're going to look right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry once again here. And it's going to take place, where does his ministry begin? Well, it begins where he goes and sees John the Baptist at the Jordan. And he gets baptized. And of course, after John the Baptist baptized Jesus, it's as if the heavens, the very skies themselves, tore open. And the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus as a dove. And the words of the Father said to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son, and with you I am well pleased." But then, immediately, a favorite phrase of Mark in his gospel, immediately, the Holy Spirit that is upon Jesus takes Jesus into the wilderness. And he was there for 40 days. Why 40 days? You can say, well, because the Bible says so. But no, there's a significance in that 40 days. Because God called an entire nation, the sons of Israel, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob renamed Israel by God. He called that entire nation to be a light to the world. So the whole world would look at Israel and say, "You guys have the one true God. We want to believe in your God." But of course, Israel failed. Just as Adam and Eve failed and fell, Israel fell too. And so Jesus, just like Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness to represent that he is the new Israel. He is Israel as it should have been. This is why when he was a baby, his parents fled to Egypt, and then he came out of Egypt because the Israelites came out of Egypt. Just like them. And he was there for 40 days. Now, of course, what do we always focus on? More specifically, in the other gospel texts, is the temptation of what happens and what the devil actually says to Jesus. Right? If you are the Son of God, turn bread, or turn this stone into bread. Because he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Right? Turn this stone into bread if you're the Son of God. And Jesus said, of course, it is written that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word from God. The devil tempted him again, saying, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself off the high point of the temple, and his angels will catch you. And of course, Jesus said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And of course, Satan said, if you're the Son of God, bow to me and worship me, and I will give you every nation in the entire world. And Jesus said,
away from me, Satan. For it is written, that you shall serve the Lord God, the Lord your God, alone. And of course, the devil left him for more until another opportune time presented itself. Jesus did what Adam could not do. He did what Adam and Eve could not do in the garden. He resisted Satan, signifying that not only is he the new Israel, but he is the new Adam. Where we failed against the devil and have failed against the devil, Christ is victorious. Now, furthermore, it says, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Well, I don't really want to add more than what I said in the children's message, but think back, if you will, to the story of creation, when it was good. One of Adam's jobs that was given to him was to name every single animal that there was. And humans do that, right? We discover a new species, we name it. Why? Because it was God's plan for us to have dominion over all of creation. Creation was meant for us. And don't overlook this fact of how important and valuable we all are to God. He created this vast universe, the heavens and the earth. The heavens, plural, meaning the entire universe. So every star in the sky. And you know what? We have these wonderful inventions, these telescopes, and they can take these pictures. And we can see galaxies and stars. And we know of other planets and other solar systems now. And one of the things that our scientists have tried so hard to do is to find life, to find that there's other planets that can support life on their planets. And you know what they're struggling to find? They're struggling to find planets that can actually support life. Meaning, just how precious this little rock is. And I don't think that that is something that we should take for granted at all. We were made in the image of God on this rock, in this solar system, on this planet. We have great value to God. And He cares deeply for all of us. And He made this world for us. And He made us the crown jewel of it. He made this world and He pulled out of the world. He pulled out of the dust. He made us for this world. And He made this world for us. It was our gift. And yes, if Adam wanted to, he could have had pet lions, pet bears. He could have rubbed a lion on his belly and not been mauled. He could have scratched a bear underneath his chin, behind the ears, and not been mauled. He could have had a whole pack of wolves that he could hunt with. Wanted to, that help him out. But when Adam and Eve fell, all of creation was turned upside down, and dominion was given to Satan. And so, instead of wild beasts knowing their place in God's creative order, we actually need to be careful around wild beasts because they can harm us. And so there's a significance there of Jesus being master over all creation. He has taken us back to the garden. Once again, affirming that this man who just was baptized is God, the Son of God. He can be with the wild animals and they obey him. And of course, the angels not the fallen spirits that follow Satan, not the demons, but the angels, the servants of God, they came and they ministered to him. What does that exactly mean? What was that case of that? How did they minister to Jesus? I am sure that they gave him strength. As Jesus prayed in the garden, an angel came and touched him and gave him strength for what he needed to go through when he went, before he died on the cross for us. And perhaps after his temptation was over, the angels tended him and gave him his physical needs. Maybe they brought him food. But the point is that is being made by Mark is that this man who was born in Bethlehem, fled to Egypt with his parents, came back, lived in Nazareth, where his mom and dad were from. He was a son of a carpenter and a stone cutter. That was Joseph's job. Stone cutter and a carpenter. This man is something special. This man is divine. This man is God. The angels directly serve him. We all need God in our lives. We are all broken. As the scripture said in James, do not say that God tempts you, for God doesn't tempt. But we are tempted by our own sinful desires. So we're broken. We have these sinful desires. And the devil knows how to capitalize on that. And he knows how to feed us lies. No, if you eat from that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God, sure, you will not die. God just said that to you because he doesn't want you to be like him. You won't die. God won't kill you. Right? That's what the devil does. We know right from wrong, but the devil whispers in our ears, it's okay. And then we fall for it. And we're left broken and hurting. And we wonder why life is so difficult and hard. And then we feel sorry. We feel this burden of guilt. And then the devil does another thing at that time. You know how I told you it's okay? Well, it's not okay. That's what the devil says. It's not okay. And you know what? God doesn't love you. Because of the terrible things you've done, and there's no forgiveness for you. You know what that one little word that we sing about in the Mighty Fortress of God that fells the devil every time the devil cannot stand, that beats the devil? Is liar. It is liar. We can't resist Satan on our own, but Jesus is with us. And he conquered the devil. And every time you're reminded of each sin that you've committed in your life, all that guilt, all that shame, all those terrible feelings that you have, the regret, all of that Jesus took on the cross. Every bad memory that has brought you out of nowhere, that's a spiritual attack from the devil. And he's trying to say that you're no good. But you can flip that script and say, hey, liar. All that stuff that you listed, that's how much Jesus loves me because that's how much Jesus has forgiven me. All of that was taken to the cross. And Jesus said, it is finished. He took that wrath for you. Therefore, you are clean. You are brand new. You are renewed, you are forgiven. And God sees you as a precious child because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. And the world, filled with so many things other than just wild beasts, filled with disease, filled with things that just seem so random, things that we just can't control. I know I've said this before, But you know why I'm going to say this again? Because it bears repeating. You've heard how many times from people who have meant well, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. That is so wrong. We can't handle it on our own. And that's why God sent His Son to set all things right. And you know what? It might not be set right when we want it to be. We might have to wait. We might have to endure. We might have to persevere a little bit. But we can still trust and know that Jesus is with us. Because when God makes a promise, He keeps it. And Jesus promised His disciples, and you who follow Him are His disciples. He says, "Surely I am with you to the end of this age." He is with you. He is with us. And in all these things, He enables us to be more than conquerors. Because He Himself conquered the devil. He conquered the world. He conquered death itself. When He died on the cross to forgive our sins, He rose again and shares that victory with us. And when He returns, all of creation is going to be renewed. All of the struggles that you have, if you have chronic hurts and pains in this body, guess what? Those chronic pains are going to be gone at the resurrection. You have grief and things that you grieve in more, Jesus is going to wipe away every single tear. We need hope in Jesus now, but we won't need hope in the future because everything will be good and restored. And we will have hope fulfilled when Christ returns. Jesus came to help. Jesus came to save. Jesus came to demonstrate that even though your life has been filled with trouble, turmoil, and despair, and regret, that God still loves you and is not done with you, and even has saved you for a purpose. Because just as any good parent will look at their children in their worst moments and say, "You know what? I might be bad, but I still love you, and I'm going to forgive you." God looks at us and says, "Boy, you messed this up again. And yeah, I'm a little bit mad, but I just love you, and I forgive you. And I will clean up this mess for you. And I'm going to help you do better the next time. Oh, you might mess up again. But guess what? There's more grace. And there's more grace. And we're going to help you." That's what God does for us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are there to help us, to heal us, to save us, to carry us through this world until we see the fullness of salvation when Christ Himself returns and renews all things. Until then, know that you have a friend in Jesus, a Savior in Jesus, who has defeated the lies of the devil. He has forgiven all of your sins, and He has promised you an eternal paradise, because not even death will have its hold on you. Amen.
Amen.
For the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep them from now until life everlasting. Amen.